So I don't know if you how closely can see the picture up there, but my husband is in the middle of that picture somewhere hiding. Well, not hiding, so...
I see his legs,
yeah. It was a picture from our recent Lake District holiday, and we had some beautiful weather, and Ed was walking in shorts, so you can see his legs. There we go. So as you can see from the title of my talk is Finding God Through Crossroads, Paths, Walking and Resting. And you might think by looking at that, I'm actually going to take you on a 10-mile hike across the mountains, up the hills, through the valleys, through the rivers and back up again. But you'll be pleased to hear I'm just going to take you on a gentle stroll through the journey that I've been on with God and continue to be. I think a walk with God doesn't stop and you've completed it and you get a tick. It tends to carry on. And clearly with this message, it's something that I continue to work through. But my heart is that you will really learn something about God that you can apply to your own lives through what I'm sharing this morning. God tends to use our daily lives to really speak to us and change us and shape us and mould us into the person he wants us to be. And that's the case in my situation, and particularly through my work situation, but also through some of the changes that we've been going through as a church recently. God uses these times to restore us, to shape us and mould us, and also to encourage us. So this is something I just want to share with you this morning. And what I've often found is that God prepares us and equips us for what lies ahead. So that's my testimony of some of the things that I'm sharing this morning. So on the morning of the 26th of July, and that date sort of sticks with me, and this was before I got to church, and I think I was just reading through God's word, and I was reading through my daily notes, and I was reading in Jeremiah. And the Holy Spirit highlighted this verse to me. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And I think the bit that stood out for me at that time was rest for your souls. It sort of stood out as something that I often look to seek. Oh God, am I at rest? Am I at rest? And so that really stood out. But I didn't really understand, I suppose, the importance of this verse, but also what it would mean to me moving forward. So I came to church and I asked God, do you want me to share it during the service? And didn't feel any prompting of the Holy Spirit to do that. Although I was able to share the word with somebody in the church who was at a crossroads at that point in time, and it just felt right to share that verse and to leave that with them. And I suppose during that, since that time, God has been developing my understanding of this verse and using it to really point out and explain his ways and his purposes and to, I suppose, speak into my character as well. Now, as you know, I'm a pretty logical person, and as a true accountant, as many of you know. So you'd have thought I'm just going to go through this in the order that I've set, but actually I'm not going to. I'm just going to be different for a change. And I want to look at them as God has opened them up to me, okay? And so the first one I'm going to pick up is rest for your souls, okay? So this is the first bit that really stood out for me, for this verse. And rest to me is contentment, it's peace, it's being without trouble. It's a great place to be. And often, I know for myself, I don't stop and think, am I at rest? Am I just without any trouble? Am I just without any worries? But when I do, it sort of really feeds into my soul and feeds into my spirit. And it's a really important place that we need to get to. And I suppose growing up in the countryside, one of my things that I used to find and still find is that if I'm out in the countryside, particularly when I was out in the Lake District a couple of weeks ago, I tend to stop sometimes and I just tend to look at God's scenery, his mountains. It just speaks to me of God. It speaks to me of the awesomeness of God, and sometimes it's also the same. I grew up very close to the sea as well. And those two things, I just find when I stop, when I actually do stop and look, I just find, God, you're in control, and it just brings back everything into perspective. And that for me is an important place. I just put God in control. I trust God. And it probably was this need for a sense of rest and peace which drew me to God when I came to Bristol Polytechnic, as it was in those days, many years ago, UE now, when I was a student, and I made a commitment. And I know when I went to a Billy Graham meeting and I made a commitment to follow God that evening, and it really just stood out to me, God, yes, you are in control. I can't sort my life out, but you can. And that was really, obviously, a very important decision back in 1984. And as a young Christian, a word that God often reminded me of was, be still and know that I am God, which is Psalm 46:10. And I suppose looking back, I was most probably a fairly intense person at that time, fairly sort of uptight, and used to worry about a lot of stuff, and really found it hard to stop and be still and be at peace. And it's something I most probably have found it difficult to maintain at times. I think I've most probably grew up from a mum and a nan who worried and worried and worried. And I think when I was at Poly at that time, I used to get up to all sorts of stuff. All good, but I never used to tell them what I got up to until after I did it, so they couldn't worry. So there you go. That was how I used to work. But I knew I had some of those same traits, but God can change us. He doesn't want us to hold on to some of the traits that we may have grown up with and are part of who we think we are, but God wants to change us. So it was something which I've struggled to maintain, this sense of rest and peace, and often I can feel weighed down by work pressures and responsibilities, and I know at times I've really had to struggle and find God's word just to keep me in the right place. And I started thinking, as I've been preparing this talk, what are the little things that annoy me? What are the things that really get under my skin? I tell you, it's a bit... Actually, didn't come up. Anyway, so when I started thinking about it, it's pretty scary, isn't it? You think, well, that annoys me, and that annoys me, and actually that annoys me too. So some of the ones that, just out of interest, let's see if these resonate with you. Traffic queues, and when people get in the wrong lane deliberately and pull in. Yeah. Automatic telephone responses, which send you around the houses and takes you 10 minutes to get to the place you want to be. IT that does not work when it should. Poor customer service. Okay, so these are some of the things, and there were many, many more, and I'm sure you can all think of things that annoy you as well. But a week ago on Friday, three of those four things all happened at the same time. So I did not arrive into work in the best frame of mind, and sometimes these things can make you laugh or they can make you cry, and I think I had a bit of both that morning. But fortunately, the day did get better. But then there are the big things, okay, that really do get us out of rest, and quite rightly so sometimes, I suppose, and we really have to find God in them. So some of these could be loss, financial pressures, work, health issues, offence, relationships, commitment. These are really hard things to find God's rest and peace in. But God wants us to be at rest even through these tough times. And I suppose one of the testimonies I want to share with you this morning is my situation at work. And I can remember back in March saying, we're in a tough place at work, not just because of the financial pressures that we face as a local authority, but where I was in terms of my position and standing within the finance. I'm a finance manager. And we've been through a lot of changes over the last 2 years. And the finance was definitely taking a different approach, and I had to let go of many things, and I find it hard to let go sometimes of things that have worked well, things that I'm close to, things that I've taken a lot of time and energy in, but that's what to happen, and I found that really hard, and that led to conflicts, and some of those were quite serious. And I, looking back, and this isn't about me judging myself or other colleagues in there. It's just about me finding God's way through is why I'm sharing this with you. But there's not many people I find it really hard to get on with, but this one particular person who was a colleague of mine at the same level, we clashed. Very different from me, very different style, and just didn't see eye to eye. And what made it harder was that I used to manage a team of people, and as part of these responsibilities, I left that responsibility to this other person. And so if I needed any resource, I had to ask this person for the resource. So the difficulty was that I didn't get on with this person, so I felt very isolated. And as you can see, this escalated and escalated and got to the point where work was becoming really, really hard. It was becoming a pressure. It was affecting me. It was very heavy. And it came to a head, and my manager brought us together, and he said to us, you're dysfunctional, you need to sort it out. Now, that's quite a strong word, but you know you've got to the stage where you need to do something. And so I was clearly out of rest at work. And change, when we go through change, it can be quite unsettling, and we need to find God in it. But as I said, God wants us to be at rest even when things are tough. So I'll come back to that testimony in a bit. So I'm going to move on now to crossroads. Okay. And it's crossroads. When you Google pictures of crossroads, you can guess what comes up as well as crossroads, can't you? For some of you can remember. So that was quite amusing. But here's some crossroads, okay. And a few of you remember crossroads, I can tell. Not so much now, but a few years ago, I used to go out for walks, and we used to usually take a book and use a map and compass and get us around the walk. We didn't quite know where we were going, and sometimes we come to crossroads and not sure which is the right path to take. Get the compass out and try and work it out. And most of the time that was fine, and you knew where you had to go. And sometimes it's really clear where God wants you to go, and the path is straight, and you know if you went to the right or to the left, it just wouldn't feel right. But sometimes it's not clear, and you get to a crossroads, particularly where it's not like a four-way crossroads. You've got six different routes you could go, and you really need to know what the right direction is. So when we come to crossroads, as the verse was saying, we stand at the crossroads and look. And often when it's quite funny, it's not funny, but you're walking and you suddenly come to a place and you see this group of people huddled around a map looking which way they should go. And sometimes that's like us with God. We need to stop and look and decide which way we go. And we have to take that decision and we have to be able to move forward. And we can get out of rest before we make a choice of which way to go. And we can get out of rest actually after we've made the choice, because we're not sure that we're on the right road. But God wants to make sure that we are on the right road. And often when we do make the choice, when we're at the crossroads, and we make that right choice, we know we're going in the right direction. And it gives us a confidence. We know from the map we can see we're clearly going by the right hills or valleys or rivers, and it gives us that assurance. But sometimes we're not sure, and sometimes we don't know where we're going, and we need to keep checking in with God, because if we don't feel it's right, we need to stop and turn around and go back. But we need to keep checking in with God. A couple of years ago, when Ed and I went to the Lake District, we climbed what they term as Catbells, which is just by Keswick, and it's quite a steep climb, and it's like a shape of a cat, which goes like that and then goes like that. And I think we'd been climbing for almost probably an hour and a half and two, and we thought we got to the top, and we sat down and had lunch, and only to realise actually we got only two-thirds of the way and need to go up the other third. So so we hadn't really reached the top, so we're at a little bit of a crossroads then. But sometimes we can delay the decision and we stay where we are and we don't move forward. And sometimes that's right, because we need to hear God's voice. But sometimes we just try and delay that decision and we try and put it out of our mind's way. And But sometimes we just need to come back to God and say, okay, God, how can I move on from this? What can I do to move on? Because I'm just going to stand here and not move forward until I get your sense of direction. So I was at a crossroads with my work. Something clearly had to change. And I'd wondered, I suppose, when I look back, why I'd left it so long. Only God knows that, why I hadn't dealt with it much earlier on. I'm usually somebody who likes to deal with things, but for some unknown reason, this just got worse and worse and worse. And God only knows why it took so long for me to try and sort this out. And as a church, we've been at a crossroads. We're taking a new path. What has gone before has been good, but God is leading us now in a new direction. But we're only where we are because of what has gone before. And we are on a new path. And Becky and Andrew have got to a crossroads, and God has clearly led them on the path they need to take. And we wish them the best in the new path that they are taking. So, moving on to ancient paths. And I want to just show you some pictures. I hope you can see. They're a little bit dark, actually. So this was a picture that we took this year when we were up in the Lake District. And it was one of the walks that we do on a fairly regular basis around Grasmere and Rydal. And it's takes a couple of hours, 2 to 3 hours. And the paths are very straight and they're up and down a bit, but it's very clear where to go. So the path is easy, okay? And then we decided to be a bit more adventurous towards the end of the week. And we didn't really want to do a long walk, but we wanted to go and see a particular waterfall. So we got the map out and we decided where we needed to park. And we parked and we got on the path. And we could see from the map that part of the little was very short, but it was very steep. So we knew we had to go down a path that was going to sort of take us to the bottom of the valley. But what we hadn't, and the map hadn't told us, that it was overgrown, okay? So this is the path. We knew we were on the right path, but the path was very difficult. And it was, as you can see, it was all overgrown. Underneath was quite slippy. And as is my trick, I fell over and managed to cut my finger. And so it was quite an adventure going down this path. Okay, so that was the bottom of the path that we're getting to, and that's where we'd come down. And it didn't take us long, but it was quite treacherous at times, and brambles, and I think Ed was wearing shorts that day, so he had a few scratches from that little expedition. But sometimes we just don't know the path. So looking at what God's talking to us in that scripture about ancient paths and good ways. It was only until I got to New Wine that God really spoke to me about what the ancient paths were. And one morning, I think most of you went to the Carl Martin talks, and he spoke about the unmerciful servant and the importance of forgiveness of yourself, forgiveness of others, because this sets us free. And God really spoke to me that morning. I needed to admit to God what I was holding on to about other people, and I had to forgive them. I had to forgive what they had said and done, because that was the only way, again, I was going to find rest. The only way I was going to feel free was if I forgave them. And sometimes that's not easy, and it comes with pain, it comes through letting go of things, but actually giving it over to God is a great release, and it frees you up to move forward. It frees you up to be able to put things aside and draw a line. So God revealed to me that this was one of the paths he was speaking about in that scripture, the good way, the ancient path. So as the scripture says, I began to ask what other paths may be. And as I ask, it's amazing, isn't it? God says ask and you forget to do it, and then when you ask, actually he tells you all about it. So these are the paths that God spoke to me about over the last few weeks and months. And there may be many other paths, and I'm sure there's books written on this scripture, but these are the ones that God spoke to me about. Righteousness, forgiveness, humility, obedience, trust, and love. And I could take, that's probably all morning going through each one of those. But what I want to do is just to give, really, just share with you my testimony of how God has used those different paths to bring me into a place of rest. I suppose my encouragement to you is maybe there's a path that you need to ask God, what is the path that you need to walk at the moment? What is he speaking to you about? But you need to ask him. We're all on different journeys, and we all need to ask him what the next step is for us. What's that small step that we need to take? And as I've shown you with those pictures, some paths are easy and others are difficult to walk. That overgrown path in the Lake District, we were following the right path, but the map didn't tell us everything, and it was difficult. It was unsteady underfoot, and sometimes we had to do just really to take it steady going down that path. And sometimes it takes a lot of courage. Sometimes it can be painful, but God knows what he is doing, and he'll get you there. We got to the bottom, and Ed managed to get some wonderful pictures of a waterfall later on because we'd managed to get through that path. And I expect you found that God often doesn't tell us exactly what we have to face ahead, because if we did, we wouldn't go half the ways that we have to go. But he equips us with the tools we need to take us through it. And I suppose once you've been down a path once, it's easier to go down the second time. Once you stand up and do something, or you reach out and do something, you're more prepared for doing it the second time. You hear God's voice clearer. You can hear what he is saying to you, and you can be more prepared. So those are some of the paths that I've been walking in. I suppose this bit is the important bit, really. One of the things when we got to the Lake District this year was that Ed needed a few bits and pieces if we were going to go walking, okay? And so the challenge was to go out and get him some shoes. And he'll say he's got funny feet, because he has got funny feet. And so it's always difficult to get him a pair of shoes that he's going to be comfortable in. We had to get him a coat, and we had to get him a coat, and we had to get him a rucksack. So we were on a bit of a mission when we got there into Ambleside, when we'd just driven up. But God really blessed us, because we sorted it all out in one shop, and we got him all fitted up. But walking isn't about the right equipment. Yes, you do need it, but if you just get the right equipment and you sit down, you look at a map and you just sit around the map, you just don't go anywhere. You just plan it and you just don't go anywhere. You don't move forward. And you can, and it's like, so we need to start walking in things. It's not just good knowing things. We need to walk in them. As a church, we're walking in a new direction, and we're taking those small steps that God is asking us to take. And we can't, it's no good us just talking about it. We need to do something. We need to do the bit that God is asking us to do. But the world is a draining place, and I think on a day-by-day basis, the commitments and the calls, that sometimes I can feel really drained. And the only way that I can maintain a sense of sanity, I suppose, is by really resting and leaning on God. And really being sort of disciplined in reading his word and prayer and worship, and to really remain connected to God's will and ways. And to know his presence, it's such a precious thing to know God's presence. And being here on a Sunday morning, and the worship is fantastic. And just thank the musicians this morning. It was just a great time of worship. Amen. Just leading us into the presence of God and knowing his presence. And it's such a precious thing. And it's really important that we stay focused and connected to God. And we put those disciplines in that help us. And for each of us, that might be different. It works differently for each one of us in terms of times, what we can do. Different parts of my life, I've been able to read through the Bible in a year, and other parts, I've just been able to read a few verses in the morning, and that's how God works. It's just finding what's right for you and what's right for God, and not coming on it under any condemnation, but really working that through with what you know God is saying to you. Just those encouraging words that you can give people as well. It just keeps you connected to God. And in Psalm 62, verses 1 to 2, it says, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." And I suppose to the youth that are here today, what I would say to you is that you need to find God's way for yourself. You need to find God's way in his word, because those are the things that will keep you going. Those are the things that will keep you going when things are overgrown, the path isn't clear. If you're connected into God and you're looking to him, then he'll show you the way. Sometimes it will be clear, sometimes it won't be as clear. But God says to find his way for yourself and walking it. And as I said previously, walking these paths is sometimes not easy, so we need the Holy Spirit to draw close to us and give us his wisdom and strength. In Exodus 33:14, it says, "The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you and I will give you rest.'" When we're in God's presence, it's like sometimes when I just feel God, when I'm out in the country, when I can see God's beauty, I just know his presence, and it brings a pleasure and it brings a rest. And it says, in Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We need to be obedient to our bit and do our bit and let God do the rest. And you know, if we get it wrong, if we're on that wrong path, God will bring us back onto that right path. Mm-hmm. He's really able to restore us and really put us back onto that right path. And I clearly wasn't on the right path at work. I was clearly getting it wrong big time. And again, I look back and think, God, why didn't I sort this out earlier? But that's where we are. And so what was I going to do? What was my crossroad? How was I going to sort this out? Because I knew I had to. I knew I couldn't sit back and do nothing. So after one especially difficult meeting, which I think I nearly walked out of, and some quite hurtful things were said, I knew I needed to do something. So over the weekend, I spent time talking to God about it, and I came up with a bit of a plan. So I had a meeting. We'd been told, this person and I, we had to meet every week for half an hour to try and resolve how we were going forward. And this was the first one on Monday morning, and I was just not looking forward to this. But I knew I had to do something different. I knew I needed to be obedient. I knew I had to be humble and take the first steps towards reconciliation. So laying aside my pride, I suggested to this lady that we go out for a coffee and I would pay. Completely shocked her. Completely surprised her. She wasn't expecting that. And this turned the situation around hugely. It was almost like my spirit had changed. And I didn't find the meeting easy. I still felt I needed a lot of God's grace and patience to be able to deal with the way things were being said to me, the way I was being challenged. But I knew God had done something in me, and I needed to work that out and continue to work that out. But I felt a rest, which I hadn't done for a long time. I needed to walk the path of humility and obedience. And as I did that, God honoured that and changed me and changed my work situation. Wouldn't say I still find it easy. Wouldn't say I still are best of buddies with this person. But I found a way that I can work, and I found God's grace to help me through this situation. Just another testimony. Dave spoke a few weeks ago about divine interruptions, and I had one of those a few weeks ago, the Friday before I was going on holiday to go to the Lake District. And I don't know about many of you, but when you're going off on holiday, all you want to do is a free day and just get on with what the long list that you've usually got to tick off. And you don't want any interruptions or any telephone calls or any emails that are going to ask you to do something in that day. So I was in that position. But I also knew I had a colleague that was going to come back to the office for the first time in 5 months after a skiing accident. My conversations with her over the previous weeks and months were how difficult she was going to find it to come back into the office. And she was going to come back into the office on that Friday that I was leaving to go on holiday. I knew I had to change my plans for that morning, and that's what I did, rearranged meetings, and just gave her the time to settle back into the office. And it is a big thing coming back into a place where you haven't been for 5 months. But I outworked that, and I outworked in an act of love, obedience, and I trusted God that he would sort out my work. And I knew the pleasure of God, because not only did I help this lady, but I also managed to finish off my work ahead of time. And that's how God works. You step out for him, and he steps out for you. God gave me this verse, Jeremiah 6:16. The morning before the events of all our leadership changes happened. And it's an incredible verse that I've held on to over the few weeks that were very difficult and painful. It was almost like an anchor for my soul. It kept me at rest. And we were at a crossroads as a church. And we did have to walk the good and the righteous ways. And God clearly spoke to me during that time about walking righteously and being righteous in all that we did and said at that time. And holding on to that verse and trusting in God was an important part of where we were as a church. And God is taking us in a new direction. It's exciting, the times ahead. Yes, we're checking the path we're on. We're making sure it's God's path that we're on. But it's really important that we hold on to his word, because this does keep us at rest. So where did it start? It started reading his word and being open to the Spirit to speak. And we do need to hold on to his word. We need to trust in God's truth. In Jeremiah 17, 7-8, it says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." God is with us, and we need to keep looking to him. And there's a lovely song that Michelle introduced me to right at the beginning of this time, and one that always comes back to me, and it brings me into a place of rest. And it's called "It Is Well." It is well with my soul. And there's various versions around. And some of the words from this song are, it says, "Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes cannot see. And this mountain that is in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well with me." And that when I feel out of rest, when I feel that I'm like I'm in the midst of the sea, or I'm on a place that I feel completely out of my comfort zone, I just remember God and I come back that he wants it to be well with my soul. He wants me to be at rest. And as it says in that line, our eyes need to be focused on him. We need to keep focusing on him if we're going to walk the right paths. So the challenge. What's the challenge for us as individuals and as a church? What areas are you out of rest in? What is God speaking to you about that maybe you need to work through and come to a place of rest in? What decisions do you need God to give you wisdom for? Where are you standing at a crossroads where you need that wisdom? Where you need God to tell you what the right path is that you need to walk in? And then what path is God asking you to walk or trust him in? Is that obedience? Is that love? Is that forgiveness? And there may be a whole other things. Is that healing? Is that financial prosperity? What is it, that path? And we're all in different places, but we need to ask him. And the most important thing is, if you know all that things, will you walk in it? Will you walk it out and then find a rest for your souls? So I leave you with the final slide. As God said to me, this is God's promise for you today. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen.